It's a joy to be in church tonight. I want to look at a subject I'd like to teach through tonight, and that is about faith. You've got a handout in your prayer list. And before we get started, though, I want so much for you to realize it's all academic unless we apply it spiritually and devotionally to our lives. And I'd like to just get you to start thinking about that at the very beginning. Because with just a simple study, simple look through an internet, or just a Google search, you could find how to do these things, how you live by faith and pray and do all of the five or six items that we're going to work down our way through. But if that's all we do and we just change our mind up here, oh yeah, you're supposed to do that in faith, you're supposed to pray in faith, you're supposed to do that, then you haven't done what God wants you to do. But if instead you would take it and you say, I'm supposed to live in faith, so much so that God says it's impossible to please Him without it. It's not that it's just a hard thing to do. It's not that living in faith is the best way to live. It's that God says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So I don't care if you have perfect attendance in church for the next 10 years. If you give lots of money to every program that's coming through the church and you help lots of people, if you don't do those things in faith, then you're not pleasing the Lord. So I'd like for us to get started thinking about this, that the way you live needs to be wrapped up in faith. And faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what I'm supposed to be living my life in is not how can I make this happen, but instead how can I trust God to work in this situation. So let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. The Bible tells us how we are supposed to walk one way and not the other way. So as we walk not by sight, but instead by faith, you'll find your place there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and use this as a springboard. The Bible says this short verse, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, God brings it into this aspect, and I say willing, rather be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Everything that I'm supposed to be doing, even to the point of leaving this world, is supposed to be done in faith. And so sometimes I worry about us Christians, and you're not the only one that does it, and neither am I, but we get so consumed in what is battling us right now that we forget that we've got a God that we can trust. If I hear it tomorrow, it won't be the first time this week that somebody that I call or they've called and said, Pastor, I just don't know what we're going to do. And sometimes I'm able as pastor to come right alongside of them and I remind them, here's what we're going to do. Now, before you think I'm trying to put anybody else down, the next week I'll be telling somebody else, brother, I don't know what we're going to do. And I hope they preach the same sermon right back to me and they'll say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to trust God by faith to get through this. Because you understand that there's nothing that we battle that we cannot battle in faith. As the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now you remember that we're saved by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourself. And so faith got us into this situation, in a glorious situation it is. And then faith is also the way that we live in this situation. And then faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we don't ever have to worry about Him not being able to deliver. So you're in 2 Corinthians. I want you to look in Romans chapter 1, and let's just go down through here what we're supposed to do. This five-point plan, if you want, and maybe you'll even feel led to write it in the back of your Bible somewhere to remind you of how you and I are supposed to live. So in Romans chapter number 1, if I said go forward, I meant go back. Romans chapter number 1, we see that how we're supposed to be living by faith, because God says the just, the people that are living righteous before Him, the just shall live in that way. Verse number 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. A reference to an Old Testament passage back there telling us that we're going to live by faith. So your calling card in life is supposed to be you're a man or a woman of faith. That means when health is not what you want it to be, job situation is not what you want it to be, please don't be wringing your hands saying, I don't know what we're going to do. Please instead continually go to the Lord and say, Lord, I just trust in you that you'll show me what you ought to do. And so we understand that the just shall live by faith. Now, here's why that's a problem for us in the world in which we live, because our world right now is dominated by sight. That's just the way we are, humanly speaking. You see all the advertisements, commercials, we see them online, pop-up ads that are talking to us about this. And I'm not saying that they do or don't do this, but you're talking about something to one person. And the next time you look on social media, there comes an ad for what you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, they know that if you see something, then it's more likely you're going to buy that product. We live in a world dominated by sight. When new cars are introduced in the fall for the new model year, they want to get those, not as much as they used to. Used to be they would have traveling entourages of the new models of cars, and they would showcase them at different dealers in cities across this country. But that's because we're dominated by sight, and so our advertisement is by sight. We're visually stimulated and all that. And so God comes along and says, you aren't supposed to be living by sight. You're supposed to be living by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so I'm saying this evening that faith is to my soul what all the senses are, and they get alive with all of these things. You know, when you're hungry and you're walking down through one of these places at a downtown section and they've got all the food that's cooking, sometimes they'll just put that right by that. They'll blow that aroma right out there because they just want you to come right in. You're not walking by sight then, you're walking by smell, I guess, but you're coming right in. And so to that body of yours and mine, those senses are alive, that sight and that smell and all of that. Well, to our soul, that faith is supposed to be just alive, that we trust the Lord even when I don't see how it's going to work. So I'm asking you this evening, are you living that way? You don't have to answer it to anybody but you. But I'm saying again, if you're not, you may be in the estimation of people sitting in this room, the greatest Christian they know. But to the one that it really matters to, if I'm not walking in faith, then I'm not pleasing God in the way that I'm walking. It's impossible. So we're supposed to live by faith. In Romans chapter 4, you can turn if you want, but it says this, who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. We not only live in faith, but we walk by faith. We remember in Genesis chapter 12 where Abraham, he was the one that he left his hometown. He was going. You remember the story? He was going. He didn't know where he was heading. Be like us, renting a U-Haul truck and putting it in our driveway, putting everything in the back there, putting the realtor's key box on our door so somebody, they could sell that house. And you're getting ready to pull out. You've got that U-Haul truck filled up with diesel or gas, and you've got it filled up, and you're ready to pull out. And your neighbor says, where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I'm just going to go to the end of this road, and I figure God will let me know when I get there. That's about the way Abraham left, minus the U-Haul. And so he said he went to a country he didn't know. And so we understand that illustration, example is there, and we're supposed to live that way. As I mentioned already, our walk is not pleasing if it's not in faith. Now, here's how I like to live. Me, not Bible-believing John, just plain old John. I like to live that we know all the steps are planned out from 1, 2, 3, 4. We like to know what 10 steps ahead of us are right now. How many of you know that God doesn't always agree with me? He doesn't agree with you either. And so you want to have it all mapped out from here till they lay you out sometime and come look at you at the cemetery or at the funeral home. We want to have it all laid out. That God says, it doesn't work that way. He said, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the lights in that day, if you've studied up very much, the lights in that day, they weren't these big powerful ones that shine so far now, a million candle power. Those lights of that day, when those people would have read that, would have just barely showed out a little bit in front of there. And as he said that his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the light that was shining on my path was not going to show very far. And so when I don't know what's going to happen in my life and you don't know what's going to happen in your life, I've got to go because it's the normal deductive reasoning, the decision I should make. Since I don't know where I'm going to walk next, I'm going to have to talk to, believe in, and listen to, and get close to the one that does know. And the only way I do that is by faith. So I'm supposed to walk by faith. Once you turn over, we're back again a little bit again about in Matthew. We'll just let our fingers go through some of these pages, Matthew chapter 21. And we see that as we live this life in faith and we walk in faith, there's something in your Christian life and in the discipline that you and I ought to be doing, and that is prayer, and we're supposed to be doing that in faith as well. And I'm afraid that sometimes I just pray because that's what preachers are supposed to do. And I've caught myself on more than one occasion letting words come across these lips without some faith to back it up that God was going to answer what I asked. Verse 21 of Matthew 20, or verse 22 rather, of 21. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, that's just another way of saying having faith, believing, having faith, ye shall receive. In verse 21 before that, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done with the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And so we're supposed to pray in faith, believing. I've heard it so many years ago and I've never forgot it, but having faith in God is not believing that God can do something. Follow me here. God could pick this building up, spin around three times with us in it, and set it right back down, and we would not be injured at all. He's not going to, but he could. That's not faith to say, I believe God can do it. Faith, as that old preacher told me one time, faith is believing God's gonna do it. It's easy to say, oh, I know God, you can. But it's a totally different story when you say, God, I'm believing that you're going to. And so some of us are going through situations right now that we need to have faith in God that he is gonna do something in that situation. Not that God, you can. Of course he can. He could rearrange the whole exterior of this part of the country if he chose to. He's not going to, but he could. But that's not the same as me saying, Lord, I've got this family member and I need you to work in his or her life. I believe you're going to do it. And so we are supposed to pray in faith. Not only do we see these things, but I want to take you through these last couple, and that is we resist evil by faith. The Bible says over in Ephesians, in that warfare chapter where we're talking about the armor of God and we are putting it on by faith, because the Bible says we're taking the shield of faith and we're able to ward off the things that Satan throws or hurls our way. You know those articles of the armor, that helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel of peace, that shield of faith? There's no armor in a closet somewhere at your house that you're putting on. So you can deduct that each one of those are put on by faith. Lord, I'm believing this shield is real. And so here sometimes we go out there completely unprotected. You know where you work. And you know what you're going to have to deal with. You know the obstacles that are going to come on. And so sometimes we go out there and just act as if we don't need protection. No wonder we get tossed about. No wonder we get beat up. We haven't by faith put on the armor. Look over there for just a minute in Ephesians chapter 6. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, all the ones that end in uns, they're all together. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, verse number 10 says, but it goes on, put on the whole armor of God. Now, we know specifically that the shield of faith listed in verse number 16, of course, that's faith, but I'm submitting to you that all of these articles have to be put on by faith because you can't see them. They're not a tangible piece of armor that you're putting on. Verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, having that put on there, having that breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod, the helmet of salvation, the all of these things, they are put upon there. And when you take the shield of faith in verse number 16, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And so if we're not with that shield of faith, if we're not putting that on there, and you got to put the shield of faith on by faith and say, Lord, I believe you can protect me, because again, there's no closet at your house that you're going to go get this shield out. So it has to be a shield of faith, and the shield of faith is put on by faith. And so shame on me when I leave out the house in the morning and I haven't suited up. So I'm supposed to be able to resist evil by faith. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I think sometimes in our ignorance, we'll say, well, I'm just going to go out and do battle with the wicked one. Lord, help you. Because you'll get beat every time. You've got a very, very strong enemy. But I've got to go out there submitting myself to him, resisting him after I submit myself to the Lord, and shielding up with faith and putting the armor on, so I'm supposed to resist evil by faith. I'm going to knock a couple of things out here, but we're hoping, trusting that it ain't going to be a while for some of us on this last one. But Hebrews talks about this last thing that I want to bring to you, and that is that we ought to die in faith. So I used to tell young couples when I would have different sessions with them and say, we want our kids to stand at my funeral. We want your kids to stand at your funeral and say, Dad, Mom was a person of faith. I said, here's the instructions. Very simple. Live a life of faith from now till you die, and that's what they'll say. Easy to say, hard to do. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13, it goes after this hall of fame of faith that they talk about, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, and all of them. But verse number 13 has an interesting twist. It says, these all died in faith. Now, it's an amazing thing. The Old Testament saints didn't know a lot. They certainly didn't know as much as you do. Sometimes Christians will say, I wish I knew more Bible. I wish I knew more about the gospel. I wish I knew all of this. You talk about somebody wishing they knew more. I'm sure the Old Testament saints, when they got to heaven, they started figuring some of this stuff out. Said, oh, that's how that all goes together. You think Isaiah knew all that he was writing when he got in that part and said, a virgin shall conceive, and it'll be this, and it'll be this, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And then he gets there and says, wow, that's something. Well, we get the beauty of looking back instead of looking forward like they got to do. But these all died in faith. Not knowing what all they were talking about, they died in faith. And so the scripture goes on as it talks about that. But having seen them, those promises, afar off, and were persuaded of them what? Those promises that they'd seen afar off. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They knew they were misfits. But they were looking to something that they didn't quite know everything about. But they knew enough about to believe it. And they all died in faith. Now remember, faith is the Bible. In that same chapter, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So they had not seen it, but they had hope of it. They had not experienced it, but they looked ahead to it. And this is what they did. They died knowing the promise was theirs. And now I'm going to fast forward it now to today. There's a lot of things. We do know who Jesus is. We get to look back at the cross, yes, but we still don't know what heaven's like. You say, oh, I know what heaven's like. Gates of pearl, streets of gold. Yeah, I know. But there's more we don't know than we do know. I had not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things that God had prepared for him, them that love him. So there's more that we don't know than we do know. So we're looking ahead. We're looking, if you put yourself in that verse, and it's certainly not a wrong application of it, having seen them afar off, there's a lot that we see afar off, and I don't know how good it's going to be, but having seen them afar off, we are persuaded now, and we embrace them. And confess that I'm strangers and pilgrims on this earth. So really, you and I are not much different than Isaiah was. You and I are not much different than Daniel and all the Old Testament saints were. We're not much different than them, because we've got something that we're looking forward to as well. And I don't know how good it's going to be. And I don't know all the details about it. So one of these days, unless Jesus comes back and gets me, and I hope he does, but unless he comes back and gets me before this happens, I will die. God helping me, I'll die in faith. And so we're supposed to do that. Scripture says, not having received the promises. They hadn't got them all. You say, oh, poor Old Testament saints. Well, poor New Testament saints, we haven't received all the promises either. But we're going to. So if we're going to die in faith, and you and I need to start living in faith, these people were convinced of the reality of the promises that God had given them. And so tonight, I want you to walk out of this room being convinced as well. I do not know what's going on in your body. You know, as I mentioned just a little bit ago, one of our beloved folks here, they're now battling cancer. They've added that list, added themselves to that list that nobody wants to be on. But do you understand that before that came to their knowledge, God already knew what was going on? And you realize that I could be the next one that has to put my name on that list? And if it is, you come and say, "Brother, remember what you said. God didn't get caught off guard by your name being put on a cancer list." Have faith. As we look at the end of this lesson tonight, I've got to lay one other heavy load on you and look at one last place, and then we're going to be done. Romans chapter 14, verse number 23. Just in case you thought you were skating by tonight and doing good enough, you're faithful enough, you're trusting enough, let me just unload it all on you in Romans chapter 14, verse number 23. The Bible says in that verse, "He that doubteth is damned," or condemned, "damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith." Now, you know this is talking about that principles of Christian liberty all the way through this, but I'm drawing the application of how you live and how you behave amongst other Christians and in this world that we live in. You're supposed to do all in faith, because this person, whether you're eating that which was given to idols, there's different places in Scripture where it talks about the liberty that you have and all of the things in that realm. But he says, "He eateth not of faith." But listen to this text that I do not think is a misrepresentation of it to put in our lives. "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So if I raise my children to be good kids, but I don't do it in faith, I got to take you this verse and all the way to Hebrews. It's impossible to please God unless I raise them in faith. I can pastor this church, and let's say that we had historic growth for the next 12 months. People just flocked in here. But if we didn't do it in faith, trusting the Lord, it may have looked good to some people who are monitoring attendances, but it wouldn't have looked good to God. Your family, your marriage, you may be keeping it together because of your sheer will. We're going to stay together even if we're miserable. And I guess that's more plaudible than maybe not, but you may say, "We're going to do it." But without faith mixed in there, you may please the people who are around you, but it's not pleasing to God. And so much so that our lives need to be summed up in your life. I don't care if you're a young single or a great grandparent or getting married or going through struggles in your marriage, whatever it is, the Scripture clearly says that whatsoever is not of faith, if I'm not living in faith, believing, then I'm not pleasing God, but instead I'm sinning. And so as we look at that, may we, as the Bible says in that verse we started off in, walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I'm reminding you, my desire is to walk by sight. I like to have it all planned out. I like to know what's going to happen. I like to know when something's going to break down so that we can have the money set aside for that. That way it doesn't put too much of a kink on your budget. And then you can go to the other thing. I'd like for all health problems to come at times that you want them to come. And how many of you understand that doesn't work like that? We want to walk by sight. We're naturally prone that way, but then our society doesn't help us any because it all is driven by sight. But God says, "I want you to step back from all that, and I want you to walk by faith." So I want us to be Christians that walk by faith. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, we want to walk by sight. We really do. It's so much, it gives us so much peace, I guess. Or it sure is the way we want to do it. But you tell us not to, Lord. So I pray that we would be a group of people who walk by faith. Lord, trusting you for our children. Lord, trusting you for our grandchildren. Lord, trusting you, as even we've joked about tonight, this little one, Lord. We're praying that Jaron Jody's little one, Lord, he'll be born healthy and normal. And we're praying that he gets saved when he understands as he grows and develops and he starts realizing things. Lord, these are walks by faith. Lord, our marriages, it's the picture of Christ in the church. We're supposed to be living this by faith. As we go up and down the halls of these hospitals and we have to go from one test to another, Lord, we're supposed to be trusting you by faith. Well, we don't trust our doctors. We thank you for them. We trust you past them. Lord, help us to walk by faith, I pray. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking to your heart, I trust that this Bible study tonight has shown you some things. I hope it's convicted you. I didn't want to give you a Bible study to help your mind without giving you a challenge to your heart. Are you walking by faith? If you're not, I hate to be stern, but if you're not, you're not pleasing God. Please don't tell me how faithful you are. Don't tell me what position you hold. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I believe one of the reasons God does this is it ejects pride and ejects preferential treatment to some people who had a better leg up than someone else. You could take somebody who didn't have any raising in Christian circles, come to Christ, they can have faith just as, maybe easier, but just as strong as that person who grew up in it all their life. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come as they play through one more verse? If you have something else you need to pray about, then I challenge you to come. I'll pray with you. Somebody else will. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in church tonight. I'd like to just share this great news with you. Our sitting back there by Steve and Jeanette Smith are the England family. They've been coming for a long, long time. They're such a blessing, Ron and Shauna, and their daughter, Adeline. She's upstairs in the children's department. But they'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They're coming by statement of agreeing with the doctrines of the church and requiring all or meeting all those requirements. And they're a great blessing. They're also our two-door down neighbors. Used to be Steve and Jeanette's neighbor, but we moved Steve and Jeanette out, and so we took over that street. So, no, we didn't take over, but we are certainly glad to have the Englands as neighbors. They're one and good friends, and we're thankful for them, but they are desiring to unite in fellowship with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we just need a motion for that. Brother Marty Scroggs makes that motion. Brother Larry Stover seconds that motion. All in favor, say amen. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Amen to that. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to remember. I tell you, Amy says, don't say amen. That way if somebody said, oh, amen, and that was a no, then that would be a misnomer because amen means let it be. So, but that's all right. Well, I also am thankful for them, and I also am thankful for Brother Ezra being with us. Would you mind slipping out in the lobby with us? Some of the greeters will be back there, and I hope you'll get by and see this good brother in Christ and what he is doing for the Lord over Nigeria. We're so thankful for him, and hope you get to introduce yourself to him. He'll give you a prayer card if he's got some more so that you can remember to be praying for him and the ministry and what God is doing. I'm thankful that he is doing so many things around this world, and I want us to be praying for him as well. And then, ladies, tomorrow morning at 10, right over here in the Home Builders classroom, which is the one off of the kitchen in the Family Life Center, is a Bible study. You say, I've never been to one. Just come. If you're able to, ladies, just go in that gym building, and you'll see the ladies meeting there at 10 a.m. And then there's also one at, is it 7 or 6:30 tomorrow night? 7 o'clock. And it's right over here in the ministry house. So it's just right next door. Nobody's staying with us until the weekend. So it's in the ministry house. So ladies, if you want to come at 7 or come in the morning, I know that you would enjoy it and it'd be a great time in the Lord. So thank you so much for being here. If you haven't got to meet the Englands yet, they're right beside Brother Steve and Miss Jeanette. Hopefully you'll get by and shake their hand as well. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.